Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and today is Thursday, September 1st, 2022. So we're delighted to see you all, and we're getting ready to go ahead and start our first Thursday of the month meditation. We call it the satsang. Satsang is an old Sanskrit word that means truth gathering, or gathering of good people. I hope you've all been good lately. And as vegans, I think we're good, at least have a foundation of morality and kindness, which is so essential in the world today. So thank you for your kind and compassionate hearts and for doing the best you can to help be a source of peace and healing in our world. It's more important now than ever. I think we're facing really serious challenges. I know many of us individually, and I think collectively as well. So that's sort of the background. That's lurking in the background, all of that. But it's great to just give thanks for this precious moment that we have right now, and for each other, for our loved ones, and for this precious opportunity of a human birth. So if you got here a little earlier, I just had some music on from the album Ocean Prayer, which is meditative music, and that piece is called Leaving the Bay, which I just love that image of leaving the bay, of heading out from the protected little place, which is nice, but we're not supposed to be there. We don't build ships just to leave them anchored in the bay. So we head out into the great ocean on the great adventure of this life. And I think that's something we do every morning when we head into our day. It's we're leaving the bay. And all kinds of adventures await us, I think, every day, potentially. So may all our adventures bring peace and healing to our world. And so I'm going to go ahead. I'm just waiting a minute or so for people to join us, but I'd like to start the meditation pretty promptly because I know we all have a lot going on in our lives, and this is 1 hour of time out of our month. One of the things that is interesting to contemplate is that we get 1,440 minutes every day. So we could spend 10 minutes out of the 1,440 in meditation, or 20 or 30, hopefully. I think it's really important to have a regular meditation practice, or a time when we are not being a human doing and being a human being, in the sense of connecting more deeply with the conscious awareness that is our true nature, not just the material form or the outer dramas that seem to beckon us sometimes, shouting in our faces, beckoning us quite loudly, and to have a time to reflect. The powers that be, or the powers that shouldn't be, I guess you could say, seem to do pretty well at creating situations where it seems that people just don't have time for meditation and contemplation and reflection. And yet, on the other hand, each one of us as an individual has tremendous power. And one of the powers that we have is the power of our time. How do we spend our time? What do we focus on? Where do we put our attention? So that's what we're going to be talking about today a little bit. And I'd like to go ahead and start the meditation. I'm sitting here at the piano. We're going to be in our home here in California for another, let's see, this is September, so October, probably November. But we're already going to be leaving in November on our lecture tour across the country to Florida. So then we'll be doing all these meetings will be from our little van or from somewhere on the road. between here and Florida. That's if things go according to plan, which we're never sure. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. And feel free to make yourselves comfortable, however you'd like to do that. We'll begin our meditation time. Let's become aware of our breathing. With every breath that we take, we're breathing in the Spirit, the infinite power, the infinite light that gives rise to all manifestation. With every breath, we are being nurtured, we are being nourished with the energy of infinite life. We are connecting with the source of all life. And through the absolutely miraculous intelligence of our physical body, the breath, the oxygen, the energy goes through over 30,000 miles of blood vessels in a matter of seconds. Feeding and nourishing every cell in our being, trillions of cells, fed by the breath. This is true not just of us, but of all beings. There's a magnificent investment of spiritual intelligence and life in literally billions of beings, trillions, quadrillions, cows and pigs and fishes and chickens, turkeys, lions, dogs and cats, otters and egrets, and all the trees and all the fungi, an absolutely stunning manifestation of love, joy and beauty, creativity, harmony, the intelligence and the power that supports all life is supporting our life. And so we connect now with our mission, the mission that we have for this lifetime. Just breathing and opening our mind and heart to this being that goes by our name. This being of light. Sending love and appreciation to this being for all the efforts and perseverance, the lessons learned, the gifts given, and letting go into the moment of realizing that what we are is infinite and eternal consciousness, opening to the reality of what we are without a physical body, what we are vivifies and makes the physical body possible. And looking through our eyes at all of our brothers and sisters with kindness, respect, appreciation and gratitude, the whole human family, the whole family of all living beings, with kindness, even for the difficult beings in our life, even those who may be challenging for us, human beings or animals of some kind or insects. We release them all and hold them in the light of our loving kindness. And we connect now with the power of harmony in all of our relationships, knowing that as we understand our true nature, we realize that ultimately we can never be harmed or praised or blamed or judged or criticized. Looking beyond the outer forms, and seeing the true nature of everyone in our life, we send love to every living being. We send gratitude for all of the lessons and for all of the inspiration. Knowing that we are on a beautiful journey of unfoldment of our full potential. that what we are has talents and gifts and abilities and potentials that we are just opening to now for the benefit of all expressions of life. Abiding in silence, in the inner sanctuary that is ever present, the garden of our heart. Abiding in the beauty of our true nature and the true nature of the source of all life. Connecting with the yearning in our heart to be the vehicle that we can be for the healing of our world, and giving thanks for this life and for every dimension, for all the challenges, knowing that the challenges bring us into greater awareness. That life pushes us to unfold our wings, to open up our heart, to heal the old wounds, to be a source of kindness and compassion for others, to celebrate our life as sovereign and free expressions of divine inspiration, singing, dancing, and playing. Always a manifestation of the truth that we are. And so now, as we begin to move toward the closing of our meditation, we give thanks for this physical vehicle. We see every organ functioning in perfect harmony. Every cell bathed in divine energy, responding to our purpose. Here to serve our purpose. We see our purpose shining in every cell. A dynamo of inspiration to every cell in our being, that we can sparkle loving kindness and compassion to others in our own unique way. And so we relax. Knowing that we, every day, are opening up more to our inner wisdom, to our intuition, to our inner guidance system, that we live our lives in alignment with our own authentic integrity, that we are here as sovereign individuals. We're not here to please anyone, to make an impression, to get anything. We have everything. We're here to give. Like flowers. Naturally. Blessing those around us by being true to ourselves. By being understanding that all of our brothers and sisters have unique challenges and lessons to learn. May all the animals of this earth be liberated from human delusion and exploitation. May the children of all beings be liberated from oppression and violence. May the hearts of all beings be cherished. May no being be seen as merely a commodity to be exploited. May all of us humans heal the wounds of animal agriculture, the wounds of 400 generations of delusion, may they dissolve into their native nothingness, just as darkness dissolves when the light of the sun comes. It's gone. And we know the truth. That everything we need to be whole and healthy is offered to us by this beautiful and abundant earth. There is no need for any animal to be imprisoned, to be exploited. There's no reason for any human to be exploited. And we give thanks knowing that each one of us right now is uncovering the truth of our own wisdom, in contributing to the healing of our world. May all beings be at peace. May all beings be free. May all beings be well. May we all realize the original brightness of our mind. May we discover the original softness of our heart. And hold all living beings in the heart of loving kindness. And continue to work together to build a more enlightened society that reflects the truth that we are. We were never born, we'll never die. And we give thanks finally for this precious opportunity of a human birth to contribute to the awakening of humanity. Beings be free. Through the power and presence of the infinite spirit of truth and love, we give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Thank you, everyone, for your attention and your presence for our meditation. And if anyone has any particular questions you'd like a response to or to share, feel free to press the *6. Or if you're on the phone, or I think down below there's a thing called reactions and you can raise your hand. I think pressing *6 will actually unmute you. All right, so great. We have another about 30 more minutes here, it looks like. And like I said, this is a time where we can share from the spiritual point of view primarily. We have a first Thursday and a third Thursday gathering. The third Thursday gathering is more closed. That's just really only for people in the World Peace Diet Circle and who have gone through the facilitator and mastery training programs. And but this one is more open. This is the first Thursday, and you can invite your friends if you'd like to join us for this. This is really an opportunity just to, in a meditative way, to connect with the positive spirit that is within each one of us and to remember the deeper truths that can hopefully help guide us in our lives to make the kinds of choices that bring greater wisdom and happiness into our lives, not to, in a way, be overly affected by the fear. They call it fear porn. The tremendous amount of fear and anxiety, it seems, that the mainstream media is projecting so much. So I think it's always good to remain rooted in a deeper understanding of our true nature, that we're not just these material objects. We're not livestock. We're not objects that we're born and we'll die and that's it. Just like animals are not. And animals are infinite spiritual beings also. When we treat them like livestock, we not only harm them, we really harm ourselves. We turn ourselves, in many ways, into livestock. And we can kind of see that happening. So I think it's really important at the foundational level to not only go vegan and treat every being with kindness and respect by not paying for their exploitation and eating it and using it and so forth, but also to take the second step, the big step of purifying our consciousness so that we're no longer under the conditioned attitudes of the hurting society, of domination of the sacred feminine dimension of consciousness and the basic using of other beings as instruments to get what we want. All these things, these are deep programs that came in from the very beginning. So the whole idea is to connect with the spiritual wisdom that is always shining within us, that's been suppressed by our upbringing in this society, and to remember the truth. And that's one of the reasons I love, really, the religious traditions of the world, because for all of their faults, and I'm sure they all the religions have faults, they all have shortcomings, but they all have beautiful gems of truth and wisdom in them that can help us. And the golden rule, of course, is one of them. Just the basic idea of don't do to others what you wouldn't want to have done to yourself. It's so basic. And do and give to others what you would like to have for yourself. I mean, the idea that whatever we most want for ourselves, to just share that with others. And we can all be a radiating center of this kind of love and awareness. And we don't have to elect a new president and blame corporations and blame Bezos and Gates and whatever. That we can, each one of us can start in our little sphere and expand outward from where we are and bless the world. And I think that's the key thing. So in the past few months, we have been going through a short teaching from the Dhammapada, which is an old, one of the original source Buddhist texts, which I think has quite a few nice little jewels in it. And so I was thinking I'd maybe go ahead and we only went through half of the one last month because there was quite a lot in it. So we still have another few verses that we could share, and it might be helpful. There might be some notes in there that might be interesting. But like I say, if you have specific questions, if they're urgent or whatever, feel free to let me know, because it's really a time for all of us to share here and to learn from each other. But this is a text that is attributed to the historical Buddha going way back 2,500 years ago. And I always think it's great to reflect on that, the basic idea that there are these timeless teachings, not only in the Buddhist tradition, but in many traditions that go back thousands of years, that seem to have a lot more wisdom than whatever the latest thing is coming from our science and technology, which in many ways seem to be in the opposite direction based on materialism and dumbing us down. So we kind of go... In the Buddhist tradition, they have this idea of going for refuge. It's very interesting. I remember when I was in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, they made a big deal about going for refuge, go to refuge to the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. And I never knew the source of that, but it's right here in the Dhammapada. We're going to read it right now, actually. This is kind of the original source for that. And so here we go. I'll just read a little bit of it and maybe make a comment or two if it strikes me. So this is the one that's called It's number 14, which is the Buddha. Not even, this is how it goes, so we're halfway through. Not even with a shower of gold coins would we find satisfaction in sensual craving. Knowing that sensual cravings are suffering, that they bring little delight, the sage does not rejoice even in divine pleasures. One who delights in the ending of craving is a disciple of the fully awakened one. People threatened by fear go to many refuges, the mountains, forests, parks, trees, and shrines. None of these is a secure refuge. None is a supreme refuge. Not by going to such a refuge is one released from all suffering. Okay, so I just want to say a couple of words about that section. So the basic idea is that when we get sensual fulfillment, whatever that is, even though it's on some level we feel like we need to have it, it's really good to remember that there's always higher dimensions of our consciousness that can be fulfilled and that will make this not that interesting anymore. And I think we have experienced that probably ourselves. You know, I mean, that's one of the main things when people are eating animal foods. They just think, oh, but I could never give up bacon. You know, I could never give up cheese. I could never give up that souffle or whatever it is that people just think is so delicious. And yet we know, I mean, like for me especially, I mean, I know for many of you as well, you have the same experience that the incredibly delicious vegan food that we're eating, to actually eat a souffle or an egg or a cheese or whatever, I mean, it would be like disgusting. It wouldn't be interesting, I think. I mean, that's how it is for me. I guess I would know what it is, and so I wouldn't be attracted to it. But it's the same thing for many things. You know, we're drawn to certain, you know, this alcohol, this drugs of various kinds, all kinds of things that seem to, relationships of various kinds also can be addictive and we can get a certain pleasure out of it, but there are higher, I don't know if I want to call it pleasures, but higher fulfillment. And it really has to do with vibratory awareness, I think. Just raising our vibration to the point where we can be thrilled just to see the moon, or just to see a child, or to see a blade of grass, really. I mean, or to just to breathe. It can be, what could be better? What could be more? It's like Thich Nhat Hanh. He had that line. I just thought of that. Some people say it is a miracle to walk on the water. I say it is a miracle to walk on this earth. And it really is. I mean, when you think of it, here we are, you know, wherever we are. And so this idea, and then he goes from that idea of raising our awareness to this idea of trying to find a secure refuge. And there is no refuge in the physical world, that is the point. Refuge from suffering, right? I mean, there's, wherever we go, there's old age and death, that's what they call in the Buddhist tradition, sickness, old age, death, you know, these things we can't escape, right? But the basic idea is that we can find a refuge. That's the good news. We can find a refuge, and each one of us can do that within our own mind, our own consciousness. So it goes on like this. But when someone going for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha sees with right insight the Four Noble Truths, suffering, the arising of suffering, the overcoming of suffering, and the Eightfold Path leading to the ending of suffering, then this is the secure refuge. This is the supreme refuge. By going to such a refuge, one is released from all suffering. There's a lot right there. And I, when I read this, I try not to be not to be captured by a particular religion, right? Like this is really a universal teaching. So going to refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. What does that mean? It's the Buddha is our own true nature. It's our consciousness that was never born and will never die. In Christianity, sometimes we can perhaps call that the Christ. Dharma is just the teaching, right? It's the way it is, the way the universe operates. So if we're going in opposition to that and believe in that we are a fundamentally separate self, we're going to be suffering all the time. So the whole idea is to connect with the truth of the universe as it is expressed through wisdom, through our intuition. That's the Dharma. And the Sangha is the community. And this is it. This is a Sangha right now. There's 15 of us on this call, I guess, right now. So this is a Sangha. Sangha is a spiritual community of people who just basically are aspirants. And you can look at it many different ways. A Sangha could be the community of all living beings. Could be whatever, however you look at it, but it's a community of beings who you feel this basic sense of rapport that we're working for the same goal of kindness, compassion, awakening. But each of us makes our own efforts. And one of the things that's interesting, I think, about this idea of the Sangha is that the Buddha said that without the Sangha, there can never be any Buddha or any Dharma. And I think that's a very interesting thing to say, right? Because we tend to think, well, the Buddha is the most important thing, and then the Dharma, and then finally the Sangha. But he turned it around and said, no, actually, the Sangha is the most important thing. Without the Sangha, there'll never be a Buddha, and there'll never be a Dharma. In other words, if we're living in a community or in a situation that's really toxic, it's very difficult to bring forth our awakened nature or to hear the teachings. So it's essential. So the Sangha is very precious. I mean, it's very important for us not just to only focus on ourselves and our own spiritual practice, but to do whatever we can to bring this to others through writing, through speaking, through gestures and actions and gatherings, whatever we can do to help share the teaching. Every generation it has that responsibility, because if any generation fails to pass it on to the next generation, it dies, right? That's like the greatest calamity that could ever happen. And in a way, there's tremendous pressures. The Buddhist teaching, as well as many other teachings, do talk about the idea, even though all beings are enlightened, there are demons. I mean, there are forces that go contrary to the Dharma. And we have to be aware of those forces. We don't have to be overly worried about them, but we have to be aware of that happening and not allow those forces to use us as an instrument, right? We have to be always mindful. So this is the key, I guess. The idea is that the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha are the refuge. And then he says right after that, the Four Noble Truths. This is this old basic Buddhism. A lot of people think Buddhism is very negative, because the very first of the Noble Truths is dukkha, which is translated as suffering. A better translation, I think, maybe is unsatisfactoriness. The basic idea is that as long as we're here in the material level and in delusion, suffering is unavoidable. So the whole idea is to just basically understand that. It's not good or bad, it's just that's it. But then remember, this is the second noble truth, which is there's a reason for the suffering. It's not just random. There's a definite reason why we're suffering. And the second noble truth is delusion, right? We have delusion, so we have suffering. But then the third one is the positive one, which is we can overcome the suffering, right? We can disperse the delusion and attain awakening, which is incredibly positive. I can't think of anything more absolutely joy invoking than the possibility of the human being. Like Thoreau said it very clearly, I can think of nothing more inspiring than realizing that by our own efforts we can awaken our consciousness. I mean, this is super, super positive teaching. It's the fundamental joy and power that we have. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one is simply the practical path. And this is how you do it, right? The Eightfold Path of right understanding. It's interesting, they make right understanding the very first one, because that's the hardest one to get. You have to get that one first to understand everything well, and then you can start. right understanding, right action, right effort, right livelihood, right thought, so forth, right meditation, right contemplation. But these are all practices. So we can talk a long time about that. But the basic idea is that we can actually begin to live our lives in a way to attain awakening for the benefit of all living beings. And that's the refuge. And that's when that happens. And the beautiful thing is that there are people who have awakened and attained, basically a return to their true nature, where they're experiencing a sense of joy and they're acting in a way that brings more love and healing into the world. And each one of us can, in our own way, and is in our own way, on that path, however we call it. We may be Christian or Muslim or Hindu or atheist. It really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters on some level, but ultimately it's just the idea that we, in our own way, are on this journey. All right, so that's the main thing I wanted to say here. It goes on a little bit longer. I'll finish this one up. Okay, it says, the final thing is, it's hard to find a noble person. Such a person is not born everywhere. When such a wise one is born, the family flourishes in happiness. Happy is the arising of Buddhas. Happy is the teaching of the true Dharma. Happy is the harmony of the Sangha. Happy is the ardent practice of those in harmony. And then the final verse is, the merit of worshiping those worthy of worship, be they Buddhas or disciples, who have transcended their obsessive thinking, passed beyond sorrow and grief, gone to peace, and who have nothing to fear, can never be calculated by any estimation. I mean, that's a really powerful saying. I should probably spend a whole week on that, or a whole month. I mean, the idea of being able to transcend obsessive thinking and having nothing to fear. Does anybody have nothing to fear? Anybody attain that state of nothing to fear? I mean, really nothing to fear. We're talking about the unfoldment of consciousness in a way where we realize directly and intuitively that we're not merely an object. As long as we're that, as we're under that delusion, then look out. We're going to harm others and we're going to end up finding ourselves having fear and anxiety and all these things that create suffering. So the whole idea is that if we want to make a better world for others, to really be vegans, then that's a spiritual practice of purifying our consciousness and releasing and awakening our consciousness from probably not just this life, but many lifetimes of deluded conditioning. So it means practice, meditation, and learning to quiet our minds so that our thinking is not so obsessive. That's an important point here. I think somebody had their hand up. Did I see it? I don't see it now for some reason. Maybe. Oh yeah, yes, Elizabeth. Yes, you have a. Oh, you just disappeared again.
Have been here before, so I was hesitating to raise my hand. But thank you for the beautiful teaching. I have a practical matter related to veganism and spirituality and all of this, and I think that through your teaching, it gave me clarity. So I'm working with an editor for my book who is not vegan and is vaxxed. And I was going to ask you directly, do you have a recommendation for an editor? But after I heard you today, I thought, I walk between the worlds, and this editor has learned so much, and there's different ways of being in this all. And so I'm so close now. My husband said yesterday, if you're going to switch editors right now, what, you've been doing this for 2 years, But so I just got some clarity listening to your teaching that this is one thing, and then there's going to be the next after that. So I'll be bothering you at some point, but I don't think it's going to be tomorrow.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a real, like you say, walking between the worlds when we have to collaborate, you know, with other people on something very intimate like writing a book, right? It's very intimate kind of an experience. And quite honestly, if I think of an editor, vegan editor who's, maybe I can think of one, who's a health freedom person also, which is important, I think.
And the book has the subject in it, and my editor said I did fancy dancing in that nature section. And so she's not wanting her name on the book, which is interesting. So that came through. This has been going on during the past 2 years, so the story has been unfolding. I didn't realize what I realize now. It's beautiful to be able to be in the presence and learn the lessons and the perspective of where others are coming from. One editor who was okay with GMO foods, not okay with GMO foods, but okay with what's been going on for the past 2 years. And my book makes the connection gently and deeply if you read between the lines. So I'm feeling more comfortable with that right now.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
On that note, I'll just jump in real quick. I wasn't going to mention this, but I have a novel that's going to be published in a few months with a vegan protagonist. So I relate a lot to that, Elisa. I was walking the line because my book is fiction. It's a story, but it has a strong vegan component. And so it really was an interesting dance, you know, working with largely non-vegan, and you know, my agent is not vegan, and then getting input from vegans as well as non-vegans I felt was important, because you know, I wanted to make sure that it was a story that stood on its own, you know, apart from the vegan message. And then, you know, in my acknowledgments toward the end, you know, I just acknowledge all of the suffering animals, human and non-human, who desire, as we all do, safety, freedom, you know, safety, happiness, and the freedom to live out their lives without interference. And I make the comment, you know, may each and every one of us be free. And of course, I feel like that kind of sounds like it's all about non-human animals, but in many ways, of course, it's about us humans, you know, the past couple of years. I'm going to put in the chat just the link if you're interested in it, if people want to, you know, find out more about ordering my novel. But on a different note, I do legal work to pay the bills, and I'm currently working on a case involving pharmaceutical companies. And all I'm seeing all day, every day, is documents about animal testing, you know, testing on beagles and pigs and rats and mice and monkeys. And it's horrific. I mean, I knew of this world. I was familiar with it, but I think just because, you know, so many more animals are caught up in the food system, that accounts for the largest, you know, percentage of suffering inflicted on animals, that I kind of had put the lab stuff out of my head. But this is just a vivid reminder that, again, there's a whole parallel universe of suffering out there in these pharmaceutical companies. And day in, day out, these, you know, these beings in cages, this is their life. It's so horrific. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just, you know, to me, the most disconcerting thing is evil that doesn't even recognize itself as evil. And that's what's really getting to me now. So that's just been on my heart. So it's good to have a chance just to air that among people who are of like mind and like heart. So thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Chrissy. I know we're all looking forward to your new book coming out. That's it's just, I think you said in November, right? It's called Marrying Myself.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. It'll be out November 23rd, exactly. It's called Marrying Myself. It's women's fiction. It just became available for pre-order, so I'll put that info in there. But, anyone who's interested is welcome to, you know, I'll put my email in there, too, so you can contact me or just look up the book. The more people that search for it, you know, people who search for, like, vegan novels or vegan romance, that's all good to get the, you know, the monster algorithms working in our favor.
right.
And I really think it's just, you know, I really am excited about the idea of just normalizing veganism in the world of fiction. And it does, my book does have a, you know, it's pretty strong. The book isn't about veganism, but veganism is a pretty major thread. So,
great.
That was a lot of fun.
That'd be the best way to get it to people. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I also want to, encourage everyone to check out Marrying Myself, and also Davi from England, who's with us. So always great to see Davi with us. She's at 2:00 in the morning. She just joins us from England, and she's mentioned here in the comments that she is a freelance editor who's vegan and totally gung-ho on freedom too. So if that's of any help. I appreciate your articulating, Elisa, the whole, the way, it's not so much if we win or lose, it's how we play the game, kind of. You know, it's like, it's just learning to be able to share these ideas and then work it out. Because that's one of the things that we've all noticed in the last 2 years. We were all kind of on the, more or less, it seemed like on the same page. And then with the whole pandemic narrative, suddenly there's these major relationship issues that are very hard to resolve because of the fear, I think a lot of it, and the tribalism that gets activated. And so we have to find ways to communicate anyway, and live our lives and share the message. And I think we each do that in our own way. So, meditation's helpful, but also understanding that it's hard to change people. One of the things, I know it's about time to end here. If you've read this book or heard him speak, there's he's pretty famous right now, this guy, Matthias Desmet. He's a Belgian social psychologist who has the theory of the mass formation, and he talks about how when there's certain criteria and attitudes are strongly in a society, that the whole society is prone to getting hypnotized and by a tyrant or by a tyrannical force. And those, it's basically when there's free-floating anxiety, a sense of a loss of meaning, a sense of isolation. And he talks about how this really was happening in the years up to 2020. More and more people are just looking at their iPhones and not connecting to people and feeling a loss of meaning and a loss of harmonious relationships in their lives, and the free-floating anxiety and free-floating frustration and anger. Those are the four things he talks about. And then something like the COVID pandemic comes along, and it just basically solves all those problems. You know, suddenly there's this enemy, there's this terrible virus, and it's after us. And so now we have meaning, and now we can bond with each other, and we can all wear masks, and we can all get vaccinated, and we can all just be together. And there's these weird people who won't go along with the program. You know, what's wrong with them? You know, don't they know we have a terrible enemy? We can all bond together here and fight against this evil virus. You know, so there's this, and then, so he says typically it's about 1/3 of the people who, like, don't get hypnotized. and so that 1/3 of the people who don't get hypnotized, they're looking at the other 2/3 like, how do we get through to these people? Because no, rationality doesn't work, right? It just doesn't work. I mean, because it's not a rational process. They're hypnotized. When you're hypnotized, you're in another state. You just believe it. But it's the same thing I was thinking about, really, with people eating animal foods. That's also a hypnotic trance, in a sense. And what Matthias says, which is very kind of paradoxical, is he says you can never argue people out of it. You can't. You just can't do it. So, but he says what you can do is you can be a visible and vocal minority who doesn't go along with it. And he says that will break the spell. Just be a visible and vocal minority who doesn't go along, and just do it. Just don't comply and don't do it. And that's what we've been doing in veganism, right? We don't buy the meat. We don't buy the dairy. We don't buy the eggs. We're happy. We're healthy. We're living our lives. And just that, just the presence of these people who are doing that, it tends to break the spell of the other people. We don't even have to argue and fight with them. Just being ourselves doing that. And I think it's the same thing with this. You know, just living our lives, being happy, being free, and being an example, it helps to break the spell. And I think the spell is being broken. And I think the vibration of humanity is rising. We're not out of the woods by any means. There's all kinds of things coming down the pike. But I think keeping our vibration high and just living our lives in alignment with these teachings is the key thing. So Madeline is rolling her eyes here, so it's time for time to wrap it up. It's 6. It's just about 6 o'clock here, so we're having dinner. So let's. I want to thank all of you for joining us. We'll have our third Thursday at the usual third Thursday, the 15th of September in a couple of weeks. Feel free to stay in touch if you have any questions or comments. And thank you again for joining us. Let's go ahead and close with our famous prayer that we say. It's on the Circle of Compassion website also. We can say it together 3 times, and we can all say it together. Let's unmute yourself if you can, if you don't mind, and so we can all hear each other's voices.
Yes.
And here we go. Compassion in circles for all beings
everywhere.
Compassion in circles for all beings everywhere. One more time. Compassion in circles for all beings everywhere. It be so, it is so. And so it is. Much love to all of you. Thanks again so much
Thank
for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. Go forth and multiply.
Thank you, everybody.
Love you.
Thanks
again.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you.